and I'm going to read through that. Whenever it says magic thoughts, just substitute the term ego or substitute the term fear. Because the course is always, 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 no matter how many different terms it uses, it's always talking about love or it's talking about fear. And it's talking about the part of our mind that experiences love or the part of our mind that experiences fear. That's it, you know. And sometimes the Christian terminology throws people off and they make it the course more complicated than it is, but it's only talking about love or fear. So whenever you're reading anything and it throws you, just substitute love or fear, which you'll be able to do because you can tell by the context that it's written in, and it'll keep the ego down. And ego is just a part of us that, as a matter of fact, let me do something right quick. I think it'll be really helpful that I want to start using in the classes. Symbolizes is our picture of ourselves, our concept of ourselves, our idea of ourselves, okay? So this is what the ego is. There's you, and then there's your concept of yourself or your picture of yourself. So all of the things you believe about yourself, everything that you've learned, everything that you've gone through, your story is what's written on this page. Okay, so whenever we talk about how do you deal with ego thoughts, we're really talking about how do you deal with your story? How do you deal with the concepts that you're telling yourself all the time? How do you deal with the feelings that you're giving yourself, the interpretations that you're giving yourself? Because most people, they think they are their concepts of themselves. They think they are the picture that they've written about themselves. So when they read the course, or in the truth book, when people say, I feel resistance, what they're saying is, this new information that I'm receiving doesn't go with my story. It doesn't go with my story. My story wears clothes. It has a social security number. It's called Earl Purdy. It's got a race. It's got a sex. It's got Earl's story since the day he was born up to now. And what the Course in Miracles says in the psychotherapy pamphlet, there were two more additional pamphlets that were published after the main body of the material. And he talks about the process of psychotherapy and healing. And he says that what happens is that when you give a person the truth, or you give a person love, or you give a person anything that conflicts with their most cherished possession, which is their picture of themselves, then subconsciously that person sees you as a danger to them or as a threat to them. And it's important to realize that it's not an always a conscious process. And I've seen that so many times in the 27 years that I've been teaching the Course in Miracles. I can't tell you how many people, they come in and study the course and tune into the course. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've seen it yourself. People come through here fast. But the one thing that's interesting is that people constantly say, this is what I look for. This is very important to me. This is what I've really been wanting to find. This is all of that. And then you never see them again. And what happens is, or they'll be really loving what they're hearing, and then sooner or later they'll hear one of their cherished lines in their picture, right? And then the course, then they have this resistance against the course immediately, and then the ego says, this is a threat, don't come back. But it does it at a subconscious level. But if you are being taught in line with your story, then your ego doesn't resist it. Like, the ego doesn't resist the idea of, let's talk about today how we can manifest more money. No problem. Let's talk about how we can manifest our soulmate. No problem. Let's see how we can manifest more specialness and attention from the world. No problem. Let's talk about how we can manifest that beautiful trip we want to make, a beautiful house we want, the loss of the 100 pounds, anything that's within that concept of the story of what we've been taught is important. People don't resist it. What makes the course more of a challenge is that it's trying to get a person to let go of the picture, which is the most dangerous thing that the picture self could possibly believe. So at a subconscious level, the course says, the ego looks at it like you're being left defenseless. Or that if you're a person that believes that attack is your reality, and then it's saying the answer is peace, well, that's a threat. You know what I mean? So what's a challenge about teaching the course is that it's constantly talking to and speaking to subconscious hidden ideas and beliefs and concepts. Not concepts that people necessarily aren't aware of, but unconscious. Like a person could say, well, something just came up, and that's why I'm not here. And they don't understand, I'm not talking about whether or not they're here. I'm talking about whether or not you're really moving in the direction of living the new thought system that you say you're studying. That's what I mean by getting away from it. Before you know it, you plan to meditate, but you didn't. You plan to study more, but you don't. You see what I'm saying? Before you know it, you'll find that you're not really investing the time in the new thought system as you are in the old thought system. And your old picture of yourself, the ego, will create what the Course calls delaying maneuvers. So all of a sudden, you start creating things without realizing it that keeps you from focusing on the truth the way you used to. And that's why, you know, man, if I was teaching just the stuff to make the ego feel good, there's no telling how many people I'd be teaching by now. You see what I'm saying? But the Course is threatening. The Course is literally threatening to the ego. Let's say that you're a person that really loves animals. And this is just arbitrary, but I was to say, well, animals don't mean anything. Okay? Then all of a sudden, why? Because in your story, line 34 is animals mean everything. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we don't realize about everything, is that what we do is we take what we're hearing, we compare it to our story, and then we react to it based on whether or not it's in line with our story or not in line with our story. Does that make sense to everybody? So the ego isn't you. Your ego is just your story. Your ego is just your learning. And the more I identify with it, the more I think it is me. So then I lose the ability to be objective about it. And it really becomes invisible to me. Like if I put it down here, I couldn't see it, you know, but it's really where I'm living from, my picture. But the more I'm into my picture, I can't see my picture. Or another great example would be if you were in a jail cell and these were the bars, okay, if you move back off of the bars, you can see the bars. But if you moved up, you couldn't see the bars even though you were still imprisoned. So the closer we get to it, the more attached we are to it, the more we think of it as fact. And so that's what an invisible belief is. An invisible false belief is just a belief that's not true, but you've accepted it as a fact. And since you've accepted it as a fact, you don't even see it anymore, because to you it's not a belief, it's a fact. Like for instance, I am an African American man. See, but the Course would say, no, that's another belief too. See, what you are, that's part of your story too. And what goes with that story is all the things that African American men go through, and that becomes my story. Then somebody says something about African American men, and then I'm mad because that's my story. But if I realize I am spirit, I am a holy child of God, I am not a body, I am free, I am mind, I am consciousness that's expressing itself through that particular perception, now I can see it objectively, it is not so much a limit. The same thing is true with the idea of being a woman. It's the exact same thing. You are a being with an expression of yourself that is female. One of the expressions of yourself is that of female. But if I become a woman and that is all I am, then it's an invisible belief. And now that's my sense of identity. Now, if I see myself as my image, then I don't know who I am anymore. And the Course says that if you believe you're just your self-image, you're also saying there's nothing stable about you to know. There is nothing solid. There is nothing permanent about you. You're just this thing that goes through different moods, different emotions, different perceptions. And so if you were just your self-image, you could never feel secure, because we all know that our image of ourselves changes from moment to moment, day to day. But the ego or the world teaches us that we are what we think we are. I remember that old adage that goes, you are what you think, and nothing could be further from the truth. You are not what you think. That means there's nothing about you that's stable, that's permanent, that's real. You perceive what you think. You experience what you think.
But you aren't what you think. You are the holy child of God. You are spirit. You are mind. Is it, does any of this make sense? So the Course in Miracles is really taking our sense of identity to another level. And then it says that once you know who you are, then everything falls into place, because then you start to form an image of yourself that's in line with what you are. And when you form an image of yourself that's in line with what you really are, then there is no conflict. And that can, and what you project out into the world through this image would be the truth. In other words, if I was red and I painted a picture of myself as being red, and then it was projected out into my world, well, I'm totally in harmony. Me, my image of myself, and what I'm projecting are the same. Okay, but if I'm a completely loving being, but I have an image of myself as being a selfish, guilty, afraid, victim, insecure being, then my image of myself, who I really am, is out of alignment with the image of myself, and then I create conflict for myself. So what the Course is doing is just trying to give us, at the level of the body, a new picture, but a picture of ourselves that's more in line with the truth of who we are. It's still an image, but it's an image that doesn't delay us. It's an image that moves us in the right direction, while the world teaches us images that delay us. Okay.
So
again, just have that handy, because I'm going to refer to it from time to time. Because the Course says a symbol is worth a thousand words. Like, just by using that picture, that probably was a lot easier to see than trying to explain that. And more as you wake up to who you really are, you'll find that pictures become much better teachers than trying to analyze it and trying to figure it out. Now, what you say, brother?
So you say, well, two things, okay? But I just want to get clear. So the Course is saying that, I mean, as long as I'm here in the body, there's going to be an image.
There's going to be an image as long as you think you're a separate body. And there's nothing wrong with you having a personal self that's in the world. That's another popular misconception about the Course. When the ego reads the Course, when I say the ego, it's the old self. When it reads the Course, it comes up with these. Basically, it gets the idea that you're supposed to be trying to get rid of your body, that there's something wrong with the body. Also, people study the Course and they think it's anti-special relationship. They think somehow or another saying you can't have a one-on-one special relationship with people. Or the whole idea of an illusion, they'll let that upset them, as if that means the things that they value are not real. And he continually describes an illusion as simply something that you want to be true that's really not true, or anything that's temporary. But when the Course says it's an illusion, it's not an illusion to the picture. It's an illusion to my eternal real self as a child of God. You know, the Course is saying we have an eternal nature, and so what's real is eternal. So anything that's not permanent, by definition, the Course defines as an illusion, which is not saying that, you know, we wouldn't perceive this desk as being here, but we would have to be in total delusion to say this desk is going to be here forever. And so the Course is saying you will be here forever, but there's nothing in the world of perception that will exist forever. And so based on that, it calls it an illusion. It's an illusion relative to our eternal identity. Does that make sense to everybody? But it's not, but people take that to mean, well, it's an illusion, man. But it doesn't mean anything. Well, he says illusions affect illusions. So the reason why your body might be an illusion, but you wouldn't walk out in front of a truck, because the truck is an illusion too. And at the level of the physical body, forms conflict. The Course would call this conflict in a way. It's like, when I do this, it, in a sense, that's not emerging. You see? So the reason why I couldn't walk out in front of a truck is because we're both on the same order of reality. Nobody would want to walk out in front of a truck unless they was insane anyway. I mean, who would want to do that just to try to prove a point? Except somebody that wants to be destroyed anyway. So I don't even entertain insane questions like that when people come up with this.
I've had a relationship with some trucks before.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what he's trying to get us to understand. The way you can identify something that is not of God is that it is something that's bringing you fear, pain, conflict, sorrow, sickness, lack, attack. And in the course is suggesting, you know, just don't take it any further than that. If you are not experiencing love, you're experiencing fear. Fear is not of God, so there must be some type of a misperception going on. And so what you want is the correct perception so that you can change what you see and therefore change what you experience at a physical level, because everything at a physical level is coming from your story of what's true.
Hey,
yeah.
So I feel like after being involved with the course this short amount of time,
mm-hmm.
that I, some of the time, am kind of stepping back a little from the picture a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Being deconstructed, the attachments aren't always as strong as they have been. But then when I ask, well, who am I? It's just blank. It's like, wow, I have no idea.
Well, that's where the course. But that's where you. That's why you're accepting part of the course, but not all of the course. So you accepted enough of the course to go, this is my ego, I'm going to step away. But you didn't accept the part of the course that said, who am I? You are love. You are the child of God. You are spirit. You are innocent. You are free. That's what you're supposed to say in terms of concept. Who am I then? Free. What am I? Free. Who am I? Love. Who am I? A child of love. Who am I? Spirit. So the course did give you a new perception. It did give you a new picture. But the ego part of the mind didn't go there. It just remembered enough of the truth to make you feel disoriented. Because, you see what I mean? Because if you could go, well, I'm stepping back off of it. I see that's my ego. But I don't have anything to substitute with that. See, that was the ego taking the truth, giving you just enough truth to make you feel like, which was true, but then it turned right around and didn't take you all the way to the finish line, which is what the course, which is what the ego always does. Taking you to the finish line would have been, yes, this picture is my ego, and it also tells me I'm innocent, I'm free, I'm spirit, I'm love, I'm powerful. You see, I'm holy. All through the book, it's giving you definitions of who you are. But those definitions don't fit in with your story. So you tell me that I'm an unlimited being, but my story says I'm not, right? And my world is based on my story, then it sounds like I'm saying poppycock to you. And that's what happens a lot of times. It's like when you hear something the opposite of your story, then the mind has a tendency to dismiss that as not being true. That's why you can say to a group of people all day long, you're innocent, you're powerful, you're abundant, but there's very little reaction. You almost never see any reaction from people when you say positive, loving things about them. But I guarantee you, if I was to say, you're a stupid fool, you go. You would. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because that's in line with the story. But when I say you're an unlimited, beautiful being, I don't know what to do with that. So, okay, which answers another question that the course says. Why is it that it seems like the negative things seem to manifest faster than the positive things that we read about? And the course says a very simple reason. You go into agreement with the negative stuff. You don't go into agreement with the positive stuff. And it takes two to create. So when I tell you that you're this beautiful, free, unlimited being, we all go, there's a possibility that your house could catch fire today. That's true. You see what I mean? We immediately go into agreement with the ego. And so since we immediately go into agreement with it, there's nothing to stop it, and then we have some experience that validates that. That's why it seems like the worldly thought is so much more true than this new thought that we have. And then people say, well, how can I make the shift? And this is the part that's the trip. to make the difference, I'd have to start to live as if the new idea about me was the one that was true. What happens is that we read and then we leave and still act according to our old story. We read, I am the holy child of God, but we go out and we become another human being on our own out here trying to make it. But we want to get the result of the thought, I am the holy child of God. But we're not living like that. We're not going out, it's, what it says, and applying the truth. So that's what's going on with the Course. So the Course says, well, how do you deal with the thoughts of your story? How do you deal with the thoughts of your ego? How do you deal with these old thoughts? And then it said last week, and I'm just going to say this real quick again, the main way that you keep the old story from ruling you is to stop getting angry and upset about your story. Stop getting angry at your story. Stop getting angry when you have thoughts that come from your story. See, the ego says, now I'm going to be spiritual, so every time I have one of these thoughts that I'm not enough, I'm going to get mad about it. See, there I go again, telling myself, I'm not enough. You know what I'm saying? Here I go again. I just cussed somebody else out, and I promised I was going to be all light and joy and truth today. You see what I'm saying? And that's what the Course is saying. You've got the story. You've made the story. But you're going to make the story strong if you think being spiritual means staying upset with yourself about what you've learned. And that's the other trick the ego pulls. Then it's all about me constantly judging myself all day long about how I'm not coming up to the ideal self that I think I should be. But when you really get it, you go, you know what? That's just my story. Acting out again. The story that I'm not supporting anymore. The story I don't want to be true for me anymore. But it's still the residue of my story. And so you go, you know what? I felt depressed this afternoon. That's the way I felt this afternoon. I got angry at my boss today. That's how I felt. I got angry at my boss today. Is my goal to get angry at my boss? No. Is it my goal to attack myself anymore? No. So if it's not my goal anymore, if it's not the way I think reality should be for me anymore, then I've already changed my mind. And so now all I have to do is keep going in the new direction, and this old stuff will just begin to fade away. By me focusing on my new picture, my old picture will fade. It's not about me fighting the old picture. It's not even about me trying to change the old picture. It's about getting a new picture to replace it. That's different from trying to spend all day working on my list. Right? I got my old picture, so I'm trying to fix my old picture. It was like, and then you hear challenging things. Like I was listening to a radio station yesterday from my hometown, and it was a talk show. And in Memphis, Tennessee, there's a church and a liquor store on every corner. They go to church and then they go to the liquor store. Or they go to the liquor store and go to church. Either way. The point that I'm making is that it's Jesusville. Okay, it's the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. It's Southern Baptists up and down. And one of the beautiful things about growing up in the South is that you do constantly hear stuff like, go to the Holy Spirit, go to God, go to Jesus, go to Christ. When I taught the Course in Miracles in the South, people didn't feel comfortable unless I mentioned Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Up here, it's just the opposite. Because people seem to be trying to overcome old religious programming. So the minute you say God or the minute you say Christ, you lose half your audience right there. Okay? But the point that I'm making is, sure, there's the belief in Jesus, but there's also a tremendous belief in sin and guilt and punishment. Okay? It's not like they believe in Jesus and then everybody is like, let's give each other unconditional love. They usually single out the parts of the Bible that justify vengeance and punishment. Because people always look for the part of a book that most reflects what they already feel about themselves. And that's because I know some Christians that are the most loving, incredibly giving people you would ever meet who study the Bible every day, and they don't condemn other people, and they say it's up to God to judge them and not me. And then I meet people who read the Bible, and all they can do is condemn everybody around them, and they use the Bible to do it. But I've also met people like that who study the Course, and I've also met people like that who study metaphysics. You know, it's like, again, it's going to be a reflection of what they want. Or what they're looking for within themselves. So the point that I'm making is that we have to recognize that what we're reacting to is not the truth. What we're reacting to is the story. We all have a story, and we believe in our story. Now, the point I was going to make about the radio show was this. They were going and they would call themselves being very spiritual talk show hosts. But they were going in depth and about how pedophiles should be tortured. Not only tortured, but there should be a line of people torturing them. And as soon as one person gets through torturing them, the other person should torture. I mean, and it was amazing. And at the same time, they were and they were totally spacing it with Christian talk. I mean, as a matter of fact, they thought wanting to torture the person was a sign of how much they love children. Just the idea that somebody would do something to a child, then they deserve to be tortured. Okay? And they didn't see that that was in any way, shape, form, and fashion opposite to Jesus. Okay? Or what was taught by Jesus. And you see this all the time. That's what I mean by there's the truth, and then there's our story. And according to what they learned, then they felt justified. Some people may feel justified about that, but there's one thing that the Course says to me, I always try to keep in mind, is this. Whatever you want for somebody else is what you're asking for. And I always think about that. He says, when someone says something to you, before you answer, always remember that what you're saying to them is what you are asking for. See, people don't know the laws of the universe, because it's like if giving and receiving is the same, then whatever I would want for you, then the universe would go, well, that's what obviously must be what you think you deserve for yourself, because it's all about giving and receiving being the same. So it isn't about justifying the guy, the person who had the sick mind that molested children or whatever. It always goes back to what do you want for yourself, because that's what's going to determine what you receive. So it would be something like, from a Course perspective, I would say, God is the love in which I forgive the pedophile. What does that mean? That means that I am giving that person to the Creator to handle. It is it's not my responsibility to handle them, but it is my responsibility to not be one myself. You see what I mean? That's applying the truth. That's living the truth, which is the disconnect that I personally observe all the time in the truth community, a whole lot in the truth community. The reading of it, but the living of it is tougher. So if you say you're going to live the truth, you go through more stress at first than a person who's just reading it. You do. It's a world, it's easy to sit up in groups and talk it. It's another thing that when a person disappoints you, you don't attack them. See, that's living it. And that's where many people fail. But if they do, they're not supposed to condemn themselves. They would just realize that was their lesson. That was their call for love. They're also growing too. So my point is, don't beat yourself up about beating yourself up. Don't get mad at yourself for being angry. Don't beat yourself up because you still lose your temper sometimes. Don't condemn yourself because you aren't always as generous as you think you ought to be. That's actually reinforcing your ego. It's not making you a good person. Okay. And that nothing to do with being a good person, beating yourself up. So the Course is saying, so what will be your reaction to all magic thoughts? He says, well, these angry, fearful ego thoughts can but reawaken sleeping guilt. What sleeping guilt? Guilt you have hidden. but you haven't let go of. And that's what happens with the truth. The truth, when you condemn yourself and then you feel bad about it, that's you awakening your own hidden guilt. That's why you feel so bad. It's because you have guilt thoughts and feelings, and your ego is awakening those thoughts. Then it goes, how can I tell when I'm dealing with an ego guilty thought? He says, each one says clearly to your frightened mind, you have usurped the place of God. Don't you think God has forgotten? You know, it's that idea of, I'm going to be punished. And then it says, here we have the fear of God most starkly represented. For in that thought, his guilt already raised madness to the throne of God himself, and now there is no hope except to kill. Here is salvation now. See, a lot of people have the perception that there's a creator who punishes, and the creator is punishing its guilty child for what it's done. And again, you hear that a lot. I am being punished. God is punishing me for what I'm doing. A lot of times it's easier, believe it or not, it's easier to teach the truth to people who don't believe it than it is with people who think they do. For instance, an average person in the world would walk in here and say, I do believe I've done something wrong that God might be punishing me for. Or they'll say, you know, I hate my father. I hope I never see him again. He better not ever come over my house. People on the path don't talk like that. They can feel that way, but you're going to say, how are you doing? They're going to say, fine. How do you feel about everybody? I love everybody. Do you want to forgive? It's like we always are fine. And we're nice. And we would never walk in and say, I just want to run somebody over the day. No, that was the holy child of God. You know, so we have the emotion, but we don't admit it, so it becomes hidden. Where a person who walks in and says, I hate my father, they're not hiding that thought, so it's easier to help them. But the person who's pretending that they don't have any hate, they still get the results of that hate in their experience, but they're mystified as to why things aren't going right. So then, in the truth community, you get a lot of, I'm a nice person, and I wonder why I don't have a relationship. I'm a nice person, and I wonder why things aren't going right for me. I'm a good person, but I didn't get that right. You should say, why? Because they're in denial about their story. Because part of their new story is to pretend that they don't have the story anymore. And you see what I'm saying? The story is there, but now I have it hidden. And so what happens is that story still is doing its thing. But now I'm pretending I don't have the story. Okay, then people say, well, how can I keep from doing that? And then the Course says, well, what you do is you use your feelings, because your feelings are the one right use of judgment. You can tell me you're feeling fine, but you know how you're feeling if you stop a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's like I can walk in here today and say, how you doing, Earl? And I can say, great. But Earl knows how he's feeling for real. So if I'm not feeling peace, if I'm not feeling centered, if I'm not feeling loving, then I have some hidden beliefs that need to be changed. If I see a world that doesn't seem kind to me, if I don't see people that love me, I don't trust anybody, I'm upset all day long, I feel irritated all day long, but I'm okay, but it's always something happening to me, then that means I have hidden false beliefs that I'm not aware of that need to be released. Okay? Then the next question comes, well, how do I do that? The ego says, well, you analyze your story. You analyze your story, and you talk about your story, and you analyze your story, and you judge yourself for your story, and you try to pretend you don't have your story. And then the Course in Miracles says, you give yourself a new story. You focus on your new story to the point that your old story drops away. And the ego doesn't like that, because the ego knows that if you analyze it, you make it important. That's why people love to talk about the problem. Again, when I say stuff, I'm not ever being judgmental. I'm just trying to share with people my experience, because the Course says that's all we really can share with each other in a sense. Maybe people can learn through our experience. And as a teacher and a facilitator, what I notice is that the groups of people are always more prone to come to classes and workshops when you're discussing the problem. When you start to discuss the answer is when it drops off radically. And it used to blow my mind to watch that happen over and over again. As long as we were sitting around analyzing the fact that I hate my father, that's one thing. But the minute the Course says, okay, let me give you a new picture, that's the solution. The ego isn't interested in the solution. You know why? Because with my picture says, if I punish myself, that's how I make myself okay again. So I really need to suffer. This picture is taking away the suffering. The loving picture takes away the suffering, because there's no need for me to suffer if I'm innocent. But the world taught me, if you're not good, you should be punished for correction or go through some kind of suffering. So when I'm not being told to suffer, then I feel like I'm not being given the solution to the problem. And so subconsciously, I don't come back anymore, because I need punishment. You know, I've even seen it with counseling and stuff. If a person has a problem and you clearly give them another way to look at it, but they don't want to use it, then they avoid you. Because every time they look at you, you become a reminder of what they're not doing. So a lot of times that happens too, is that I'll talk to somebody and never see them again. And I know why. Because if a person feels like they didn't do, or they can't do yet what they know should be done, you don't have to say a word to them. You don't even have to be condemning them. They'll just look at you, and you will become a reminder of the truth to them. Just by being around you, you become a reminder of what they're not doing. You become a reminder of how they should look at themselves. And if they're not ready to do it yet, then they avoid you so that they don't have to get that constant reminder. But I'll hang out with you who will reinforce my belief in vengeance, pain, punishment, if that's what you do. You make it all right. It's sort of like enabling, but at a whole nother level. I'm not going to enable your past, but you still want to hang on to it. But I got to go. I got to go. Right. The person who's going to enable your past, if you still want to hang on to it, that's the one you're going to hang out with. So my point the Spirit is telling me in saying this is, as you start to live and practice the truth, don't allow yourself to think that you're doing something wrong if you find that people start to react to you in ways that are sometimes don't make sense to you, because you would think you're being nicer than you've ever been before, more understanding than you've ever been before, and they seem to be avoiding you or backing off from you, because there are people who correspond with the new picture, if you're patient, who will be attracted into your experience. And there will be some of those from the old picture who will also make the same realizations. And they'll also change with you. So you really, basically, you don't really have to get rid of anybody. They will just fade away. Even if you try to hang on to them, they don't. You know, because the truth is such a total commitment that it can't be approached like a hobby. It can't be approached like something that is number 24 on my to-do list. It really can't, but it really has to be like the Bible says, you know, put God first and then everything else. That's really the way it is. And the Course defines that as putting love first, putting your peace first, putting who you really are first. But the world teaches us just the opposite. Put everybody before you, and then after you take care of everybody else's needs, if you're a really loving person, then maybe you'll start to take care of yours. How does that work for you? All of us have tried it. How does it work for you? It doesn't. Our experience shows that it doesn't work at all. What happens is an unconscious person will just use that as an excuse to demand more and more and more of you. Because they don't know how to give. They just know how to get. So you doing this for me? Well, you know you could do that too, and you could do this too, and you could do this too. And I don't know why you don't do that there, you know. So I just want you to have the joy and the peace that you deserve to have, and not be fooled by the picture. So any questions or comments about any of this that I've said today? Okay.
So I struggle with the idea that what I see, I want to see.
Right.
Like the pedophile thing.
Right.
So if I want to see it, then I want to forgive it, really. I mean, if it causes that anxiety, then it's like, that's not you.
Okay.
So that's still, like, too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me wants to say, okay, that's an illusion, just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that makes it go away. Like I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to hear that news.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not looking at it.
Mm-hmm. The court says when you have a thought of disorientation, confusion, anger, what you want to do. And here's the answer. And this is what the trip about is. He says in the book many times that the answer may not seem relevant to the perceived problem as you define it. Okay? And that's the problem. Because what I'm going to say, which is just one of the things the Course says, if you were to focus on the thought of gratitude, every time you have an ego thought, it would transform your consciousness. And in transforming your consciousness, then you would be able to receive your guidance, and your inner guidance would instruct you the way that you should deal with each individual situation. There's no one way to behave. And see, the ego operates at the level of behavior. So the ego part of us is always looking for, tell me what to do. And the Course says, no, I'm going to tell you what to think. I'm going to tell you what to perceive. And so I want you to focus on the thought of gratitude. Then the workbook has specific things you would say in a situation like that, which would be something like, I'm thinking about the pedophile, so I would go, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release because I recognize we will be released together. In other words, if I want God to solve my problems, then I have to also take that same approach with everybody else. So I have to say, I want God to solve that. And then I add, if there's anything for me to do, then tell me. Show me. Right. Right. And if you're not, and if nothing comes to you to do, or you don't feel like you're moved to do anything, could you have enough faith to accept that you're not supposed to in that situation? That's not the situation that you are supposed to get directly involved in. Because if it was, you would know what to do. You would be told, and you would already be doing it. So it's almost better when you're totally confused and you don't know what to do, unless you absolutely have to do something. Which in most cases we don't. I mean, the average person really doesn't have emergency situations all day. We act like we do, but we really don't. There's very few things that happen that you got to make a decision right this moment or else. So when I'm confused and disoriented, then that's when I want to give it up and then step back and say to myself, I need to do nothing. At this point, I need to do nothing. Until I can get centered, then I need to do nothing. And then that's where your innocence will come in, because it's like, can you feel innocent enough to do nothing? Could you feel innocent enough to feel like it's not your responsibility to do anything about that person, but to give them to the universe? And if there's something for you to do, you'll be told. Or you would have already done it. You know. So that's always the issue. Can I accept, to me it's like with the Course, is always, can I accept this much innocence? It's the challenge. You know, because you're innocent. You're innocent if you do nothing about that situation. That person, whoever they are, they have God just as much as you do. It's not like God says, do you think I made a voice for you alone? Do you think you have something that everybody else doesn't have? Do you think you have guidance that everybody else doesn't have? I had to really think about it. Then I realized, you know what? I did. I was going through life acting like I was the one who had it, and then I had to fix everybody else, or somehow or another they weren't going to get it if I didn't do it. Which was a very egotistical perception, actually, when you think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I don't help you, then God is going to abandon you because I'm the only one who can help you, and I don't want to. Yeah.
I'm finding that in my life of stepping back and the easiest way to be able to find out how to do that is to just say, what can I do for you now?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of assuming how to help them.
Just taking that moment to stop and ask is like enlightenment. You know, just to take that moment to go, what can I do?
Yes.
And again, to keep in mind that you're still, that person is still going to receive what they need to receive, even if you do nothing.
Right, and then remembering
that. Yeah, because that's what you want to remember there. Why? Because I want to increase the idea that God is everywhere and the Creator is there for everybody. Well, how can I do that if I'm acting like I'm the personal Savior of every single person that I see? That's me taking on. Yeah, that's totally my ego to think everybody's. But I do know that whoever's in my presence, then if I can remember the truth about them, if I can be as loving as I can be, if I can be as peaceful as I can be, if I can be as supportive as I can be, then that's my function.
Isn't one of the best thoughts just to remember my innocence at that moment?
Whatever thought takes you back to the truth is the best thought. That always your thought of innocence is a great thought. It's just that we have to watch condemning ourselves. That's what the core of this message today is about. It's to stop condemning ourselves because of our story, because of our picture, and begin to realize that we're not the picture. That's the key thing. That's the key thing, like he says here. Beyond this, there is another. There's the stain of blood. It's like today's message thought to me is to let go of the idea that the universe punishes, to let go of the idea that God punishes. That you've done something and you're going to be punished for it, you are going to be corrected. You're going to be lovingly corrected, lovingly healed. That's the key.
So how does karma fit into that?
Karma is nothing but the idea that giving and receiving is the same. It's nothing but the law of cause and effect. You know, if you perceive yourself as guilty, then you're going to experience that in your experience of yourself. But the law of grace supersedes the law of karma. You know, and that's another one that the guilt and the ego won't let people get to. You know, it's like, okay, I've done that to somebody, it's going to be done back to me. Yeah, if you stay on the same level of consciousness you were when you did it. Because if you're still giving it, you're going to receive it. As a matter of fact, when you gave it, you received it. It happened at the exact same time, right? But this is the way that works. It's like, just say you did something that was not too loving, and it looks like this, right? But you start to study, you start to recognize that it's not the way to be, right? So now, you're vibrating there. So you're above it now. It's no need for you to reap the results of what you did there when you're not there anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like me smacking you, and you said to me, wait till I come back. And then I'm waiting there for you to come back. But if you came back and I wasn't there, you couldn't smack me. You know what I'm saying? So that's what this is saying. If you are not where you used to be, why do you have to fear reaping the results of something that you used to do? And I think that's very loving.
That's great.
That's incredible. To me, that's allowing me to be to receive the benefits of my change of mind right now. If I change my mind right now, why shouldn't I receive the benefits of changing my mind right now? What good would it do to change my mind right now and I still have to deal with the way I used to be? That's the ego. That's the ego again.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of goes back to when you're talking about relationships and how those relationships are going to drop away because that's the way you used to be.
Right, that's not your vibration now. Exactly.
Vibration is some way to see to draw people, but.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that we have to realize that we will draw to us people who correspond to that new level, but it's that in-between stage that people usually lose their courage. You know, when they're in between, yet they haven't completely embraced the new way, but they haven't completely let go of the old way. And the old way can be very tempting, right? Because let's face it, the old way has a lot of reinforcement. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you went out here today and you said to most of the people around you, if you just went out here and you said, "Man, I could really be a victim of things that happen in the world," the average person would say, "You sure can." But if you walked out and you went, "I'm responsible for everything that I experience. I'm responsible for everything I experience. Everything that happens to me, I ask for. I'm the creator." You'd be amazed at how many people would get upset with you before the end of the day. I'm serious, because the court says the world smiles with approval when you talk in a victim consciousness. But the world feels threatened when you talk from a level of responsibility. And so by telling me that, then I learned that. So in the application of the truth, I think it. I don't necessarily preach it. The average person would have any idea I was a Course in Miracles facilitator. They wouldn't have any idea that I believe anything that I believe. I just try to go in situations and be peaceful and loving. I don't try to go into situations and tell people what I think. And I don't feel any need to let them know I think differently from them if they say something that I don't believe, which I used to do. I used to feel like I had to say, "Well, I disagree with that." I'm going to say, if it really, like the Course says, recognize what does not matter. In other words, Earl, if it really mattered, yeah. But in most situations, it really doesn't matter. And so that saved me so much drama in my life. It's like, Earl, does it really matter if that person believes or agrees, or that she knows that you don't agree? Does it really matter? No. What matters is that I remember this is a holy child of God. I'm a holy child of God. They're innocent. I'm innocent. I'm responsible for my experience. They're responsible for their experience, that I shouldn't attack. You know, I should remember the truth. That's what matters. Not to get them to understand or to agree with me. So I'm going to stop here. We're going to do a love offering. You know, hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate I appreciate all support, because it's scary to my ego too. You know what I'm saying? It's like my ego doesn't like me teaching it any more than yours. I'm serious. You know, my old story it wants to come up with that stuff too. And I really appreciate you all sharing with the church here in my fourth.
Initially, I started to feel guilty about that. But that didn't make sense to me that God would kill her off. But I picked it up, and she called me and another woman who we know showed up at her house to pray for her for the healing. Mm-hmm. And she started to get better after that. And it was just that knowledge, it really confirmed that knowledge that, you know, if you can't respond in a way you feel like you are led to, or you don't know what to do, or you don't take action, it's okay.
Yeah.
And that is so freeing to just be able to walk in that and know.
Yeah.
I do what I can do.
I'm telling you, you know, that's exactly the way you should look at it. Because if you're being moved, because if you've been moved by spirit, then you're going to be inspired, and you're going to do it, and you're going to know what to do. And a lot of times you're being used, and you don't even know it. And that, to me, that's the best way of all. Because you don't really get, in a way, you don't get your ego involved. You know, I'm sure you've had situations where people have said to you that you helped them, and then you go, "What did I do?" You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? Well, you said such and such a thing, and it made such a difference. You was talking to somebody else altogether different, as a matter of fact. You know, that's what I mean. Spirit's going to use you. It has nothing to do with your little ego mind going, I decided to be used today, and I decided who I'm going to be, the ones that I'm going to help. He says, consciously selected miracles can be misguided.
Yes.
You know, when I sit back and go, I'm going to help that person, he says, that's the time when it's probably the most misguided. It's when you sit down and you decide, I'm going to do it for that person. Or there are people that you really want to help that it looks like you're the last one that they will accept you through.
Exactly.
And so you have to let somebody else do it, because they won't even let it come through you. You know, and that can be challenging, especially if it's like a loved one or a relative or something. Your children can be like an incredible teacher of that particular, of letting go. That's what they're here for, really, to teach us. So you all are going to the, y'all are doing the World Series of Spiritual Awareness. And I know you all are going to win completely. So I appreciate you all, and I'll see you next time. And you can go to my website. I got tons of classes at earlpurdy.com, too.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Y'all are awesome. I appreciate you, too.